Really appreciate the songs this morning. The congregation that I was first a member at, we sang out of these red sacred selection songbooks. And the group that I'm a member at now, we don't have these books. So I really appreciate having these and being able to sing from these this morning. And this morning, what I'd like to talk about actually is the singing in our worship and what the Bible has to say about that. I noticed that this congregation is a lot like the congregation that I go to. We sang about 7 or 8 songs this morning, and so that probably makes up about 15 or 20% of our time together. And to us, to many of us, that's normal. So it's something we've probably always done as long as we've attended church. We sing these songs. But if someone were to walk in and maybe they'd never been to church before, or any part of any religious organization, they might look at that and think, well, why is it that they're doing that? Do they just like to sing, or is this a tradition? They might have the question, well, why are they singing? And this morning, I'd like to look at what the Bible has to say about singing and answer really just two questions. The first one is why is it that we do sing when we come together? And the second question I'd like to look at is what are we trying to accomplish when we sing? To what end or to what benefit, or what's the goal of our singing? So briefly, let's just look at that first question. Why is it that we sing when we come together? And I think to many of us the answer is obvious. The answer is because the Lord has asked us to do that. There's at least 3 passages in the New Testament that we're given this commandment that we ought to sing. Ephesians 5:19, Colossians 3:16, and James 5:13. Those are all New Testament passages that instruct us to sing. Let me just read one of those. Ephesians 5:18 and 19. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So this passage instructs God's people to sing. And so that's why we do that, because we trust the Lord. We want to obey Him. And it's the truth. He speaks the truth and says, this is what you ought to do. And so that's why we sing when we come together. We want to obey the Lord, and we want to honor His command. So that's the plain and simple answer. What I'd like to spend really the rest of the time on this morning is, well, not only are we trying to obey the Lord, but what's the purpose of our singing? What does He want us to accomplish in this singing? And I think if we can remind ourselves of that, we're probably a little more zealous to do it. We're probably better at it. If we understand, I think that's the way it is with most things that we do. If we understand why we're doing it and to what end, we're, at least in my mind, it seems like we're better at it if we can think about that and remind ourselves of those things. Let me give you an example. So when I was just a young boy, we had chores at our house, and some chores I was pretty good at, and others not so much. One of the ones that I wasn't as good at was making the bed. I understood that I was supposed to do it, and I usually would do it, but sometimes I'd forget, or sometimes I'd have to be reminded. And even when I did do it, I didn't do a real good job at that. It was kind of sloppily made, and I think part of the reason was at the young age, I just couldn't get my little mind around why we had to do this job. You know, I thought to myself, well, I'm just gonna mess it up later. Why would I make this bed? And I never could really get it. And because of that, since I never really understood why, I don't think I was ever very good at it. I just was apathetic. When I did do it, I did a poor job at it. Now, there's other jobs that I understood why I was doing it. Taking the trash out. I understood, well, if I don't take this out, there'll be a foul odor in the home. So I get it. And so I was pretty good at that one. And I think that's how it is in our lives, if we understand, well, why are we doing this? I think we're a little more zealous to do those things. And the Lord, I think, wants us to know why we're doing these things. He actually tells us in the scripture to what purpose we are to sing. I'd like to look at those things. I see at least four reasons why we're to sing in the New Testament. So let's look at those four reasons. The first one is that it gives glory to the Lord. That's why we're to sing. Psalms 147:1 says, "Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God. For it is pleasant, and praise is beautiful." So we're told there to praise the Lord and to do it through songs. And then the interesting thing is we're told how the Lord feels about these songs here. It says, "For it is pleasant and praise is beautiful." So when we sing to the Lord, that's one of the goals, to praise the Lord, to give Him the glory, to praise Him. And song is very unique because through song we can express our love and our devotion to the Lord in ways that we can't just through words. There are certain things that are best expressed through music. Singing, one thing that singing does is it amplifies the words that we have. There's added meaning when we sing them as opposed to just saying them. And one of the reasons, I think there's an emotional component when we sing, isn't there? We've probably all experienced, maybe when you've sang a song or you've heard a song, you've felt emotions welling up inside of you. Maybe you've even shed a tear or you feel happier when you sing. There's an emotional component to singing. And when we sing, we're able to praise the Lord in ways that we can't really in any other way. Singing does add meaning to a message. For example, let's say someone here has a birthday next week. I don't know if anyone does, but let's say someone here has a birthday next week and someone just tells them happy birthday. They call them on the phone maybe and they say, "Well, I know today's your birthday. Happy birthday." Then that has a certain amount of meaning to it. But what about if someone called them on the phone and they sang happy birthday to them? That'd be a little more memorable, wouldn't it? They'd probably feel a little more special about it. And singing has that effect. It takes several pieces of our person, our talents. It takes our emotions. It takes our words. And it allows us to focus them all on one thing. And so when we sing, we sing praise to the Lord, it gives additional meaning. The other thing it does is it adds repetition. A lot of the songs that we sing in the books, there's repetition throughout the chorus. We're emphasizing a certain thought, aren't we? We're saying this is important. We're repeating the message sometimes when we sing the chorus multiple times, or sometimes even in the verses, it repeats the same idea. There's psychological, there's emotional, and perhaps even spiritual things that are happening when we sing that don't happen when we just speak words. The other thing that song allows us to do when we're talking about praising the Lord, it allows us to unify all of our voices together. So what if we all said, "Well, let's all read the 119th Psalm and let's try to stay together." Okay, it probably wouldn't work. So we got some people who read really fast. Some of us read slow. Some of us pause a long time at a period. Some of us, we just blow right through them. Right? We couldn't stay together if we were just going to read something all together. It'd be very difficult anyway. But when we sing, we can unify our voices, can't we? We've got a common language called music, where it allows us to stay together. And we can unify all of our voices and unify that message and praise the Lord. And so that's one of the beautiful things about music that allows us to praise the Lord, is that we can all sing and unify with one voice. Singing is it's a very unique way to glorify the Lord, and it is. It's more than just a warm-up for the service. It's more than just a transition. It's a very special part of our worship service together. It takes an inner part of us, doesn't it? Our heart is in it. Colossians 3 and 16 says, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. There's something inside of us that we're giving to the Lord when we sing. Singing is a way that we honor God with our words, with our actions, and with our heart. So that's the first thing we're trying to accomplish, and hopefully we are accomplishing when we sing. We're praising God. Let's look at another thing that we do when we sing that we try to accomplish. If you'd like to turn to Ephesians 5 and 19, here we find out that it's not just for the Lord when we sing. It's actually something that we're doing for each other. Ephesians 5 and 19 says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Or if that's from the New King James Version, if you're reading from the RSV or the ESV, they say addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I think if we were to ask the question, well, who is it that we're singing to when we sing? The answer that probably is most common that a lot of people would give was, well, we're singing to the Lord. And that's right. We are singing to the Lord. But we're also singing to each other, aren't we? That's what this says here. In Ephesians 5:19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Colossians 3 and 16, if you'd like to turn there. This states really the same thing. Colossians 3 and 16, talking about singing here, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So, again, this is the same idea of why would we sing to each other? Well, it's to teach and admonish each other. We're singing to each other. We encourage each other, don't we? We say, well, we have songs that encourage each other to do certain things. Actually, one of the songs we just sang, number 101, that was what that song was about. Live for Jesus. That we were encouraging each other to, hey, let's do this. Let's live for Jesus. That was the point of that song. And there's a lot of songs in the Red Book and the other books that we sing from that we're encouraging each other. One that comes to my mind is number 55, Take Time to Be Holy. We're encouraging each other to do that. So let's remember we need to take time to be holy. We're singing to each other, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So that's another point of why we sing, not just to the Lord, but to each other. And actually, the New Testament, if we look at all the passages about singing, there's more in the New Testament that talk about singing to each other than there are that talk about singing to the Lord. That's one of the emphases that the New Testament places on singing, that we sing to each other. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So that's a second reason that we sing, to sing to each other, to encourage each other. We find a third reason here again in Colossians, the third chapter. If you're still there, I'd like to look again at the 16th verse, because here we find a third reason that we're to sing. And that is to fill ourselves with the Word. To fill ourselves with the Word. Colossians 3 and 16 says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That's one of our goals as Christians, isn't it? We want to get the Word inside of us. And we'll have to ask ourselves, well, how do we do that? And the Bible tells us here, through song. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So song is a great way to let the word of Christ dwell in you through songs. If we look here at Colossians, the third chapter, really the main point of Colossians 3 is how we ought to live as Christians. That's probably the best way in my mind to summarize it. It's saying, how should we live as Christians? It starts out by saying, if then you were raised with Christ. In other words, if you're really a Christian, then here's the things you ought to do. And one of the first things it says is to set your mind on things above. That's verse 2. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. That's one of the keys to winning spiritual battles, isn't it? We gotta think about the right thing. It all starts in the mind. Set your mind on things above. And one of the ways we can do that is through song. These songs help us to think about things above. When we sing these songs, hopefully we're thinking about the words, and then we think about spiritual things. We think about the Lord. We've probably all had songs stuck in our head, haven't we? Or at least I have, and I've heard other people talk about it. I assume this is something that happens to everyone, that you hear a song on the radio and just, I don't know how it works or why, but it's like it's stuck there. It's playing over and over in your head like a broken record. I don't even know how to get it to stop sometimes. It just goes and goes. It's just kind of how we're made. Sometimes songs do get stuck in our head. But it can be to our benefit. You know, what if we took one of the songs that we sang this morning and it was stuck in our head the rest of the day or the rest of the week? Well, then we'd be thinking about these things above. We'd be setting our minds on things above. And through doing that, the Word of God would be in us. So that's a great way to leverage whatever that is that causes that to happen. We can use it to our benefit, to think about things above. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. The obvious way that we think to let the word of Christ dwell in us is through Bible study, but it can also be through song. And I think that's the third reason that I can find that we ought to sing, is to let the word of Christ dwell in us. When we sing, it's also a great way to memorize things, isn't it? We can memorize things easier when they're set to a tune. I know that there's been certain things I've memorized through song. For instance, when I was young, there was a song that my mother taught me about the 12 apostles. And today, if somebody were to ask me, well, who are the 12 apostles, Dane? I think I'd probably have to sing that song. And that would, I'd be able to remember it. Same thing with the judges. I learned a song when I was young about the judges. And I don't know if anyone here knows that, but it does. It helps you to remember things. You know, if we were to take, you know, just turn to a page here in the songbook and say, okay, I want you guys to memorize all the words on this page. For some of us, it would take quite a long time to memorize that. But if we put it to a tune, we can memorize it a lot easier, can't we? There's probably people here who have memorized maybe even half the songs in this book here, just because they've sang them a few times. There's a tune, and you can memorize it. And so, song is a wonderful way to help us to memorize things. Again, to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So song is a great way to let the word of Christ dwell in us. One final point on what we're accomplishing when we sing. You know, there is a spiritual and an emotional benefit to each one of us when we sing. James 5 and 13 talks about this connection between our emotions and singing. It says, is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. There's certainly a connection between our mood, between how we feel, and singing. And the Lord has known this. He's known this all along. Okay, but here recently, they're actually, you know, we think we're real smart. We do these studies, and we think we've got a new discovery. And so that's it's been happening here recently, the last couple decades. Let me cite a couple of these studies. In 1998, there was a study done that found that after nursing home residents took part in a singing program for a month, they experienced significant decreases in both anxiety and depression levels. So they just would sit. Basically, what they did is they put them in this study. They started singing over the course of a month. And after the course of this month, the people that were in this program, it says that they noticed notable decreases in anxiety and depression levels. That was one of the first studies done. That since that time, there's been numerous other studies that have shown the same results. These studies show that singing reduces stress hormones such as cortisol and adrenaline, and it produces happiness hormones, or what they call these happiness hormones, like oxytocin, serotonin, beta-endorphine, and dopamine. So singing eliminates these things that cause stress, and it produces these other endorphins that make us feel good. Singing also, it's an aerobic activity, so it gets more oxygen into the blood, which tends to make us feel better. And when we sing, we have to breathe a little deeper, which that's also been tied to lower levels of depression and less anxiety. One other study, the U.S. Journal of Behavioral Medicine published research by scientists done at the University of Frankfurt in Germany. And what they found is that singing actually boosts the immune system. Okay, so it's interesting. These are things that probably through the course of life almost all people deal with. You know, anxiety, depression, now immune, so health, right? We all, our bodies break down. But it says singing actually helps with our immune system. The scientists in this study tested the blood of people who sang in a professional choir in the city before and after a 60-minute rehearsal of Mozart's Requiem. And they found that concentrations of immunoglobulin A, and that's a protein in the immune system that functions as an antibody, and hydrocortisone, which is an anti-stress hormone, they increased significantly during the rehearsal. And then as a way to further test this, a week later, they just asked these members to just listen to music. So they didn't sing. And when they did that, they found that the composition of their blood didn't change significantly at all. So it wasn't just the hearing of music, it was actually the participation in it. The singing itself is what boosted their immune system. And there's all kinds of studies that talk about these things. Singing, it boosts our immune system. It helps people who are suffering with depression. It helps them to feel better. Maybe my favorite one, I'll just cite one more. This is a study done in 2005. It said, singing can produce satisfying and therapeutic sensations even when the sound produced by the vocal instrument is of mediocre quality. So you don't even have to be a good singer, which I really appreciate that because I'm not a good singer. But these benefits are, you know, whether you're a good singer or not, these benefits benefit you when you sing. And so this shouldn't be the reason that we sing, just we want to feel better. But what we see here is that the Lord has designed His church. He has designed the instructions for us while we live for our own good. It's to our benefit to sing. That's what we've recently started to find out. It reminds me of a passage that we find in 1 Timothy 4 and 8. It tells us, godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of this life and the life that is to come. God's commandments they're good for us here, and they're good for us in the life that's to come. And that's what we find about singing when we look into this further. We see that it's good for us while we're here. God had His people in mind when He asked us to sing. He created us in a way that when we sing, it benefits us physically. And there's quite certainly a spiritual benefit going on as well. Those are harder to quantify and harder to do these scientific research studies on. But we can see it benefits us physically. So why do we sing? Well, we sing to obey the Lord. We trust that He says what is right. And just to recap, well, to what end? Why, you know, what are we hoping to accomplish when we sing? Well, first thing we looked at is we're hoping to appraise the Lord. That's what we're hoping to accomplish. That's one thing. We're also hoping to exhort each other, to build each other up, to encourage each other. The third thing we're hoping to accomplish when we sing is to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly through song so that we can have it inside of us and take it with us. And the fourth thing that we accomplish is that it's a benefit to us. It helps each of us physically. It helps our immune system. It helps with anxiety. So those are the four things that we accomplish when we sing, and there might be others. But those are the ones that the Bible talks about and instructs us in. As we close this morning, we offer the gospel invitation. I'm reminded of a passage that we have in Job, in the middle of all of his suffering in the Old Testament, he asked a question. He said, if a man dies, shall he live again? And that's a question that probably all people who've ever lived, at one time or another, they ask themselves. If I die, what's going to happen to me? Will that be the end of it? Or will I live again? Well, the Bible has the answer to that. The Bible has a plan that allows you to live again. And that plan is through Jesus Christ. It's through the gospel that we read of. And the gospel starts out by telling each of us that we're a sinner. And that's a hard truth to accept, but we all are. We're a sinner. And so that's the first realization you have to come to when you're thinking about, well, what am I doing here and what's going to happen next? First thing you have to realize is you're a sinner as part of Jesus' message to you. And once you've come to terms with that, you have to decide, what am I going to do about those sins? Jesus says that if you're willing to confess that, yes, I'm a sinner, and then repent. If you're willing to say, well, I don't want to be a sinner anymore, I want to change. And then Jesus says, well, you need to be baptized for the remission of those sins. So if you're willing to confess those sins, repent of those sins, and be baptized for the remission of those sins, we offer the gospel invitation and we offer you the opportunity to live again, to live after this life. If you have that need or if you have any other needs that the congregation here this morning can help you with, we ask you to come forward as we stand and sing the final song.